The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus went into Galilee, and he found Philip. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and the prophets, Jesus, Joseph's son, from Nazareth." Nathanael responded, "Can anything from Nazareth be good?" Philip said, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, "Here is a genuine Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "How do you know me?" Jesus replied, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are God's son. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. I assure you that you will see heaven open and God's angels going up to heaven and down to earth on the human one." The Gospel of our Lord. Grace and peace to you all. I do want to say, before we dive into this week's gospel, I want to say how grateful I am to be back with the community of Rejoice Fellowship. It truly is an honor. After being gone for almost 2 months on medical leave, it is a privilege to be worshiping with you all yet again. Our first reading, which for those who were worshiping with us in person heard, our first reading in our worship service was from the book of 1 Samuel, and it was a story of when Samuel is a child being called by God. Now Samuel and his buddy Eli. Now I first heard this story when I was at Marlew Ridge as a kid at camp. One evening for worship, the camp staff led a skit acting out this story. Now one counselor was Samuel sleeping on one side of the chapel. One counselor was Eli sleeping on the other side of the chapel, and one counselor was the voice of God booming from afar. You can imagine how it went. Samuel hears the voice calling to him, this voice that says, "Samuel, Samuel, wake up." Assuming it's Eli, Samuel, the counselor pretending to be Samuel, runs over to him and says, "Here I am." And the counselor pretending to be Eli says, "No, that was not me. Go back to sleep." And this happens a few more times. This back and forth happens a few more times until finally, the sleep-deprived Eli says, "Listen, maybe this is God speaking to you. Go listen to what the voice has to say. Let me sleep." Now, our reading concludes with Samuel saying to God, "Speak, for your servant is listening." But it ends there. We don't hear what God has to say. Well, the scripture continues, even if we didn't read it in our worship service, the scripture continues, and it is God, and it is pretty harsh, I'm not going to lie, specifically about some errors that Eli's family has made. But that's a whole separate thing. So Samuel, though, after hearing this, gets up and he tells Eli what God said to him. And Eli responds, knowing that this is about his family. Eli responds and says, "Well, no matter what, God will do what is just. And God will do what is good. You will see. God will do good things." Our gospel reading today picks up then from the Gospel of John while Jesus is corralling his disciples. Nathanael is front and center this morning. See, we don't get a whole lot of screen time with Nathanael in the Bible. We don't know too much about him. But what he knows about Nazareth, where Jesus is from, is not very good. Nathanael knows that Nazareth is a bad part of town. Not necessarily where good things come from. And yet, here is his friend Philip saying exactly that, saying yes. Nathanael has this whole experience with Jesus And it culminates with Jesus promising Nathanael that he will see even greater things than this. This is nothing. Just wait and see. These two stories showcase how our God calls people by name, Samuel and Nathanael as examples, but also showcases how God utilizes unexpected places and unexpected sources to relay news. Good news, sometimes bad news, or otherwise. I do have a little bit of my own experience with news coming from unexpected places. The community of Rejoice Fellowship knows that I was on medical leave following brain surgery. Now, some of them also were aware that this was my second brain surgery. The first one happened in 2019, after I went to a regular, no-frills doctor, eye doctor appointment within a Target, to get simply nothing other than a new prescription for contact lenses. Nothing fancy, nothing special. And as the optometrist was conducting the eye exam, he noticed something was just a little bit off. He wasn't sure what, and he had only seen it once before in another patient, but out of an abundance of caution, he advised me to go to the emergency room, which is not what you're expecting to hear when you go to an eye exam. But then, several scans later, the doctors find a brain tumor. And a few days after that, I have surgery to resect it the first time. And people always ask, how did they find it? How did they know it was there? And I always answer, the optometrist at this Target found it. Which is definitely not what anyone expects to hear. Heck, I certainly was not expecting to hear that either. And that one routine appointment would change my life forever. Whether it's good or not so good news, God has a track record of utilizing not so typical means for getting across a message. But what the story of Nathanael and Samuel also have in common is that there is a promise at the end that they will see good things, better things even, that God will work in good ways. So not only is the story itself unexpected, but it promises something better as well. This weekend, we also commemorated the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I was reminded of his I Have a Dream speech, where he shares his vision for a better future. He shares his dream for reconciliation and something good. There is a strong sense of hope that though things are hard, they can get better. Jesus promises Nathanael, you will see greater things than these. A hope, again, for something better. But sometimes a message of hope for something better isn't always what we want to hear. When you're stuck in the midst of despair, for instance, hoping for something better doesn't always help when you want answers. Answers for questions like why something greater is needed in the first place. Questions like why did things have to get so bad in order for there to be a reason to hope? Promises of hope can fall flat when you're still trying to figure out why a bad thing happened in the first place, if you'll even ever know. I'll be honest with you all, the time after my surgery was not very easy emotionally or spiritually. My specific kind of brain tumor has no known cause, nothing environmental, nothing genetic, it just happens. Bad luck. And there were many days in which I wasn't ready to hear hope. I wasn't ready to hear a message that said things will get better, when I couldn't answer why things were bad to begin with. But that's the thing about wisdom. Not every morsel of wisdom is helpful for every situation, or at least helpful in that exact moment. Unfortunately, though I still don't know the solution for the despair I felt recently, but I do know that some of that heaviness eased with time. Time and good company. And eventually, we can once again hear that things will get better. Sometimes we hear them from unexpected places. Sometimes that support comes from unexpected places. Heck, just preparing for this sermon reminded me of the spirituality that I experience in sermon preparation. It might sound weird, I know, but the ongoing act of preparing a sermon, the research, the journaling, the writing, and the scratching out, and the writing again, all of that is probably the most meaningful spiritual practice for me. And yes, I was so grateful for a break, no doubt. And I was a little nervous to get back into a rhythm. So it was a little surprising that simply preparing a sermon for this week would support me in ways that I hadn't exactly felt in the last few months. But don't get me wrong, I still had so much support. I had been blessed and continue to be blessed by mountains of support. This community fed me, prayed for me, and welcomed me back. So this one small thing was unexpected, and I was really grateful for it. Sometimes support is unexpected. Sometimes it even calls us by name. Sometimes it calls us by name and says, "You will still see greater things than these." Neither Samuel nor Nathaniel had any idea what they were getting themselves into when they answered this call from God. But I hope that they did see better things. I pray that we embrace that same openness exhibited by Nathaniel and Samuel, who could hear a message of hope and say, "Yes, I'm in." Amen.